It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Wednesday, April 24th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, Zach. How's everything doing today there, handsome?
Doing pretty good, Pops. Happy Wednesday to you. Car market crash 2024. Car dealer profits plummet. We're going to be jumping into the data in just a moment. Before we do, avoid the dealers, avoid the hassling, avoid the haggling, get serious savings. Check out caredge.com. We've got our end of month promotion running until a couple days after the end of the month because, you know, we're creative. Dad, dealer profits are taking a tumble. I will share what I just posted on X before the show, and then we will look at some of the quarterly earnings data that has just come out. This comes from NCM, which is one of these big consulting groups that helps dealers manage their businesses. Year-over-year profits for every single type of dealer group are down significantly. Some dealer groups like Nissan down 56.5%. Hyundai dealers' profits are down 41.6%. Volkswagen 65.6%. Porsche down 51%. Audi down 61%. Dad, dealer profits are taking a tumble. Forgot Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram there at 53.4% as well. We'll look at some of the earnings data in just a moment, but as inventories rise, profits plunge.
They do. Selling prices go down. Average transaction prices have dropped. I know no one wants to believe it, okay? But it you know, there's only a couple things that will impact a dealership's profit for a year, okay? More expense. Now, that expense could be personnel expense, but in most cases, most of these dealerships run on a threadbare headcount these days. They learned that during the pandemic. But the other expense that can impact things is interest expense. And the interest expense of carrying their inventory, it has gone up dramatically over the past 3 years. What used to be a profit center, floor plan assistance from the manufacturer has now become an expense. Okay. When dealers were maybe making $25,000, $30,000 a month on their floor plan assistance from the manufacturers, they're now spending $100,000 a month. That's $120,000, $130,000 swing. The other thing that impacts profits is these gross profit on any given deal, and they are going down. I know average transaction prices are down. I know MSRPs escalated dramatically in the past 3 years, past 5 years. We know that they've gone up tremendously, but the agreed upon selling prices have been going down. Down as much as we would like, down as much as the public would like. No, but go ahead.
Buyer's market. Think back to pre-pandemic. This is back to when you were running dealerships, Dad. It was a buyer's market. You could talk to the six dealers that all had the same car within 100 miles of you, negotiate via email, ask for out-the-door quotes, negotiate. It's a buyer's market. It has entirely flipped. And I just want to, like, we have so many free resources that were useful during the pandemic and during the chip shortage because there was egregious dealer markups. But damn it, everything we've ever produced here on this YouTube channel or on the CarEdge main channel is even more relevant now that inventories are building back up. And it's like 2018 again, man. That's how it feels like to me. Does it feel that way to you?
Well, lots of dealers' profits have gone down on a per vehicle basis. The new car side of things is getting closer to what it had been pre-pandemic. You know, people have heard me say any number of times that prior to the pandemic, the average front-end new car gross profit was somewhere between $200 and $300 per car sold. That was just the profit on the car from what the dealer's cost was on that vehicle to what they sold it for. $200 to $300. Where did the dealer hope to make the money on those deals? The finance department, okay? And at that time, you know, the average finance department was producing maybe $1,000 to $1,500 per vehicle transacted. So your total your total gross profit was somewhere around $1,800 on a new car sold. During the pandemic, during the shortage, that $1,800 became $5,000 between the front end gross profit and the finance profit because there was a shortage of cars. That shortage doesn't exist today, at least for most brands. So regardless of what the dealer is asking, that doesn't mean that's what they'll ultimately sell it for. It just means that's what they'd like to get. That's their dream number. Okay, it's an ask. Now, if you try to negotiate and they refuse, guess what? There's other branded dealers that are the same brand that are out there. Go talk to them. Go find the one that will work with you. Don't just complain that the one that's closest to you isn't willing to work with. There's one out there that will. We find them every day.
CarEdge.com/deal school, 100% free. Go learn how to negotiate. Let's do a real life example. We've got our handy dandy floor plan cost calculator, and we're going to use it, folks. Now, before we use it, I want to pull up Al's comment here. Saw on another channel 2 days ago of two different Dodge dealers in one town who got their inventory repoed by their floor plan lender. Yes, folks, we are seeing repossessions at the dealership, not repossessions from consumers, but repossessions at the dealership. They are stopping. They do no longer have the means to make payments on their floor plan lines of credit. That means that the bank is going to come in and repossess the vehicles and send them to auction to liquidate them. And that's because in this calculator, we have a 7% floor plan interest rate, which is very low. It would be not surprising. I mean, Igor, you're here in the chat. Should we put 9%, 10%, 11% floor plan? Interest rates can be significantly higher than 7%. But the example we'll use here is let's go to the car search. And let's do my favorite thing, Dad. Let's actually look at a specific dealer's inventory. All right. So I'm going to go to resources.
By the way, according to Igor, average floor plan rates are 6.25% to 6.5%.
There you go. Okay. So we're good then with 7, a little bit above the Igor average. Let's put in a dealer here, Dad. What was the one we did recently? Was that Mass Ford dealer? Do you remember that one?
Oh God, I don't remember. You know, Mike.
Well, let's do your old store. Let's do your old store. How about that?
Okay, which one?
Acura North Scottsdale.
Okay, one of my favorites.
I'm under resources within the app, then dealer reviews, searching for the dealership, then view inventory. Now I'm looking at only the inventory at that particular dealership, and I'm going to sort it by days on market oldest. Oh my, man. There's some MDXs that they've had for almost a year, Pops.
Wow. Well, maybe they want to bring me back.
Maybe they want to bring you back. Here we go, Dad.
So I would do Acura it for the MDX, winter, you know, maybe just the winter.
This Acura MDX, $58,000 price. Yes. Question for you, what would be the invoice? What would be the cost to the dealer on this Acura MDX?
Probably somewhere around $53,000,
$54,000. All right, so we're going to say $53,500. They've had it how long on their lot? Let's look at that again. 300 in 27 days. This is the only car search I'm familiar with that lets you look up a specific dealer's inventory and sort it by age. 327 days. Let me come here. That's a $3,000 cost just to hold on to that MDX, Pops.
I wonder how Mr. Penske feels about that.
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, that would be bad. Now, you know, let's face it, you can lower it a little because there was floor plan assistance that they collected from Acura. You know, you could lower it down to 300 days that they might have had to pay for that vehicle, but it's still going to be in excess of $3,000. That's expensive. Okay. Now take that same car. And let's say the new car manager, not me, but if it was me, the new car manager got overly aggressive to try and get rid of that aged inventory. So let's say he said to the salespeople, minimum commission if you sell that vehicle is $500 plus I'll pay you 50 cents for every day it's been in inventory. So it's been in inventory 320 days. That's $160. So now you're up to $660 commission, and I would take a poop ton off the car to sell it. Might even lose money to sell it. So let's say we sold the car for $53.5, what we own it for, and I had to pay $660 in commissions to help get rid of the car, and I paid $3,000 in floor. How much did I lose to sell that car? Close to $4,000?
So to corroborate this, we have publicly traded companies that put out their profit per unit. Group One Automotive, gross profit per per retail new vehicle fell 23.5% to $3,600, and gross profit per retail used vehicle fell just over 1% to $1,669. A nearly one quarter decline in gross profit on new vehicles sold at Group One. And then we have Lithia. Lithia announcing their most recent earnings. Holy cow, they sell a lot of cars. 85,680 new cars.
Yeah.
Yep. Up 26%, over 100,000 used cars, up 31%. Gross profit per vehicle was down 22%, blended to $4,346. So still a lot of money. Holy cow. Do the math, folks. They sold 187,000 cars and made over $4,000 a copy. That's a hell of a business.
But you have to realize that 4,346 includes the money from the finance department.
Yep.
Okay. So, and we know we have seen other reports that their finance per vehicle sold, I believe, is like $2,200-$2,300. So the average front end gross profit is somewhere around $2,000 for them. Okay. And the finance back end profits $2,300. That's a poop ton of money on 180 some thousand. I mean, you understand how they're making money doing that, but their front end profit keeps going down. You know, it has to go down a whole bunch before they feel the pain, but they're seeing it reflected in their net income.
Yeah, no, I think the pain's starting to be felt. That's for damn sure. We have all sorts of ways to corroborate that. Most notably, they're making shorter deals, selling cars at bigger discounts. Yes. That's the pain that dealers are experiencing. Hey, we want to give a shout out to Gil here. I was happy to see you on the Rachel Cruz Show, which is a Dave Ramsey production. Hopefully, you guys can work together. You finally made it. LOL. Yeah, Pops. I don't know if I told you I was surprised to meet Rachel Cruz. You know, we were in her podcast that came out today. So that's exciting. Thank you.
Wow.
Rachel Cruz and the Dave Ramsey folks.
I had no idea. Did they like talk to you, or did they just mention us?
Apparently they showed up, man. We're everywhere. We also, huge shout out to the community member who mentioned us over on the Clark Howard Show recently. We really appreciate it, y'all.
Yes.
Super thoughtful. Igor reminding us that there are different floor plan rates if you're a franchise dealer or non-franchise dealer. So anywhere from 6.5% for a franchise dealer, 7.5-8% for non-franchise dealers. So that mom and pop lot down the street might be a higher interest rate than, say, a Penske store or Group One store.
Oh, absolutely. Like that. Yep.
Yep. And then want to come here to Sandman. Thank you, Sandman. Chrysler was in bankruptcy for 42 days in 2009. GM got a $50 billion bailout. No, nine. History is repeating again, and because of greed, the deals are coming, folks. Patience.
We're seeing it. And as inventory levels continue to build, and I honestly believe we will see inventory levels continue to build, especially through the summer months, where we will approach, if not surpass, 3 million new vehicles in either on-hand inventory or in-transit inventory for any given month. As we see that number continue to go up, we're going to see selling prices continue to come down. It's just that simple. And we're going to see manufacturers continue to increase their customer incentives, either through subvented cheaper interest rates or cash rebates to get people to buy the damn things.
We're also going to see dealers go out of business. I mean, yes. There's a new article in Automotive News this morning talking about Vroom's decision to wind down their business. And we've seen large dealer groups. I mean, Vroom was a large used car dealer. We've seen some new car dealerships. I mean, we had the community member talking about other YouTubers following dealers who are having their vehicles repossessed from them. I mean, that's pain, man. That's like a reset. That's the Warren Buffett quote of "you see whose pants are down when the tide goes out" or something like that. Like, there was a rational exuberance.
Are you swimming naked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when money was everywhere, easy. This business was easy. Now that things are hard, it's going back. It feels very much to me like it's going back to pre-pandemic.
And may I say, as someone who had a business and lost the business and closed the business, it is gut-wrenching when you finally read the handwriting on the wall. I mean, you've kind of seen it there for any number of months, maybe a year or so. You kind of see, you know, it was kind of like, it was, I think I see that on the wall, and then it just becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And the day that you have to finally pull the plug, it is, you know, for me, it was really, really tough. I had your mother and your sister and no money. I had to close the store. And you've heard me say this, the best sales day I ever had, the most money I ever took in on any given day in the history of my Golf USA store was my first day of my going out of business sale. And that is, it's like, man, why couldn't we have been doing these numbers when we weren't going out of business? But it is humbling. It is sad. It's depressing. Sad,
and there's no joy. I want to be very clear. There's no joy in us talking about businesses going under. There is immense, you know, I don't know. What's the right word? I'm going to say satisfaction in knowing that like the market is healing, because there was such egregious markups and greed and taking advantage of consumers for the past 18 months, 2 years that I take some satisfaction in knowing that the market is healing. Like, we're going back to a world where it's more fair. I guess the point I'm trying to make is it doesn't feel fair. It's also not good that businesses go under, people lose jobs. I'm not advocating for that in any way. And this industry needs some fairness. And it feels like the pendulum's swinging back in that direction a little bit.
I think it is. I mean, it still employs some of the most creative people on the planet when it comes to how they advertise, how they can figure out ways to circumvent rules and regulations. I related the story to you when Honda and Acura came out with advertising policies, and you weren't allowed in your advertising to use the word sale, invoice, under invoice, discount. And it was like, oh my goodness. I mean, what are we advertising other than availability? And that was when I came up with our what the bleep sale. And every time I use the word sale, invoice, under invoice, discount, whatever it was, that was bleeped out. It was a 30-second commercial that must have had like 20 bleeps in it. But that was my attempt to circumvent the rules. Oh my God, get to Acura North Scottsdale so you can find out what the bleep is going on. So I guess I count myself as part of that group of extremely creative people when it comes to figuring out how to circumvent rules.
Hey, I wanted to pull up a question here from Anthony that I'm sure others in our community have. What are floor plan rates? Let's talk about floor plan again to help make sure everyone understands that dynamic and how impactful it is in the market today.
Well, floor plan, here's the deal. Dealerships, major new car franchises carry, depending on brand, probably anywhere from $5 to $20 million in new vehicle inventory and used vehicle inventory. It's not like the dealer's paying cash for those vehicles. They are not. They are arranging lines of credit, floor planning, it's called, to pay the manufacturer for those vehicles as they get them. And then the dealership turns around and writes a check monthly to the lending institution for having allowed them to utilize their credit line to cover the cost of their inventory. That's floor planning. That's an expense that most dealers encounter on a monthly basis.
And as interest rates go up for us folks that purchase vehicles with financing, well, same thing happens to dealer lines of credit, the floor plan costs. That's why we keep harping on it. The more it goes up, the more of an impact it has on how these dealers operate their business. We've got from Mark here. I watched a video Tuesday, and that video referenced the CarEdge data for days supply on every vehicle they talked about. Woohoo! Like that. We are. I want everyone to know, Pops is going to kill me for this, but we are working on updating all the cost of ownership data. It's been this ongoing process. We're working on a very material overhaul of a lot of what we have back on CarEdge.com. So stay tuned. We continue to make progress on it. From Beep Bop Boop, as the market heals, the losers will be the ones that bought way over MSRP over the last 16 to 20 months. With that in mind, we did get some interesting new data on auto loan delinquencies broken down by state.
Wow.
90 days or more delinquent. Look at some of these numbers, man. 6.8% of auto loans in the state of Mississippi, 6.1% in Alabama, 5.7%. Hawaii, delinquent auto loans year over year went up 2.4% to 5.2%, almost doubled.
Wow.
Almost doubled 90-day delinquency. Beep, bop, boop. To your point, the losers here, which is a sad way to frame it, but the losers here are those people who paid at MSRP, above MSRP, really inflated prices. Now as the market's healing, their vehicle value is worth way less, and they are going delinquent at an alarming rate on their auto loans.
It is sad to look at those numbers, and it's hard to fathom why the percentage of people who are delinquent is so high in Mississippi, because the question has to become, how did they get approved for that loan in the first place? And it's not as if there was a historic jump in that percentage, because if you look back, it was relatively close to that percentage that was delinquent the prior year. So it's there's I guess, a history of dealers taking advantage of people and a history of people not being educated enough to protect their own self-interests. So ignorance is not a defense. There are enough tools, free and otherwise, that are available to everybody out there if they put forth a little effort to find them. So it is incumbent upon everybody, every consumer, to do that. And you know, the internet makes that so much easier today than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
I pulled up this comment from Lumberjeff. Good to see you, Lumberjeff. I would love to map the delinquency versus vehicle type, average sales price, brands, et cetera. We were looking at delinquency rates not by state the other day, but by lending institution.
Yes.
Santander. They do their lending for CDJR, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Like, there's some ways to connect some of these dots here.
Yes.
You can figure it out. We've got from Giovin Ipri. Thank you, Giovin Ipri. Giovin Ipri. Anyway, I just purchased a 2024 Chevy 2500 diesel. MSRP was $71,000. I paid $68,000. I'm having some buyer's remorse because I am seeing all these videos and wondering if I should have just waited. Send me your OTD worksheet, your final paperwork, Zach. Z-A-C-H at CarEdge.com. Put eyes on it. Happy to put eyes on it. But if you got out the door at $68,000 with taxes, fees, and everything, you did fine. You did great. Gonna save an extra grand maybe if you waited 30 days? Maybe, but you got the truck. You got the truck.
Don't beat yourself up after the fact.
Did you have a trade? Because that trade value is going to keep going down as used car prices go down. So there's other factors here. What interest rate did you get? So send over the details. Happy to put eyes on it and see if we can help you help you out, and space is right. Enjoy the truck. Yeah. Your options are pretty limited also once you sign the contract. Yeah. Dad, you ready for a somewhat sad? Really, you gotta be kidding me?
Yeah. Really? You gotta be kidding me.
All right. Let's take a peek, folks. This was in my Instagram DMs this morning. I'm just going on a limb here, hoping for a little advice. I have a 2022 Tesla Model 3 long range that I've owned over a year now with 21,200 miles, currently valued around $25,000 to $30,000. I currently owe about $39,000. I'm active duty with a son and was looking to get something a little bigger. I was thinking the best option for me would be to get a personal loan for the negative equity, then trade it in for a lease, but would love to receive any advice you're willing. Thank you either way. The really you've got to be kidding me here is we've talked ad nauseum about electric vehicle depreciation out the wazoo.
Yes.
And the really got to be kidding me is do not take out a personal loan to finance your negative equity. But Pops, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, I was just going to say that what he thinks might be its value, that might be the market value. It's not the wholesale value. The wholesale value is going to be even lower. So the amount of negative equity that he has is going to be even higher. The best advice I can give you is live with it. Okay. The Model 3, I don't know how big your son is, but if you just recently had a child, can't be all that big. So it should be able to fit comfortably in a Model 3. It should be big enough for a family of three. So live with it. Bite the bullet and live with it. Don't ever take out a personal loan so that you can make up the difference between what you owe and what it's worth. Because then suddenly, once you get into your next vehicle, you now realistically have two car loans for one vehicle, okay? The new car that has its own car loan and the personal loan that you're paying off, even though it doesn't have a car associated with it, it's all because of that car. So live with it. You made that decision to buy it. Live with it, okay? And learn. Live with it and learn from it. That's my advice.
Yeah, so I went ahead, Dad, and I found back on the Car Edge Car Search a Tesla Model 3 long range, and I put into Black Book with 21,200 miles on it. And so, I mean, here you go. You're looking at a trade-in range of anywhere from 18.7 to 25.3. So maybe you're going to get the average, the 23, and you owe 39. That's $16,000. Upside down on a $39,000 car note. Ugh.
Yeah. What would happen if you did that same Model 3 long range and put it in our sell widget on our website and got a cash offer for it? And my guess,
I tried that. It came back and it said no offers, no instant cash offers.
Yeah, because dealers are afraid of pre-owned electric vehicles at the moment. So even though Black Book is suggesting it could be worth between 18 and 25, my guess would be whether it is in great condition or not, offers are probably going to come in around the 18,000 range because dealers are scared to death of pre-owned EVs at the moment. We don't know what the bottom is of the market yet for EVs. We just know the prices keep going down.
Yeah, seriously. Sad story over there. Glad that you were able to give a little advice, Pops, and hopefully each of you can take away a little bit from that. From Peggy earlier in the show.
Trying to get in my beach shape. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can feel that in my hammies. Oh, damn.
We got a weird life that we live.
We do indeed.
And from Laser, buy it to drive it and don't worry about its value. 100% great advice for that community member. Obviously, we're keeping that community member anonymous, who was $16,000+ upside down on Tesla. You've got to imagine, just to stay on that for a moment, you've got to imagine that Model X buyers, Model Y buyers, Model S buyers, it's that just with like, instead of a one in front of the 16,000, it's like a two or a three, 26,000, 36,000. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are carrying a lot of negative equity on their EVs right now.
Yes. And it's just, you know, it's a changing market. The early adopters adopted. Now they're having a hard time finding somebody to adopt these vehicles. Prices are coming down. Incentives are going up. Like I say, nobody knows what the bottom of the EV market looks like. Just new car dealers and used car dealers are scared to death as to what that bottom might be, and they don't want to be holding the bag when they reach the bottom. So, you know, I think I said this the other day. If I was running a dealership today, I would tell my staff, if you can't steal it, okay, if you can't trade it for the most ridiculously low number, I don't want you to trade it. You have to figure out a nice way to break it to the customer, but I'm not willing, you know, every used car, every trade-in is a crapshoot for the dealer. We have, as people in the business, we have some idea as to what we think the value will be. It's not a guarantee. It's a guess, okay? They both begin with G, but it's really more of a guess. It's an educated guess, but it's a guess. And then what we don't know is what we might find when we go to recondition it and as to how that could impact things. So every time a dealer trades a car, it's a crapshoot. And he's hoping that he's not rolling a seven, okay? And so when it comes to a pre-owned EV, if I'm not buying it ridiculously cheap, I'm not a buyer. I'm just not a buyer. I need to protect my interest and my investment, because that's what that is for a dealership. A used car trade-in is an investment. And you know, we often suggest that you should never look at a car as an investment, but dealers do.
Dealers definitely do. Hey, let's come back here to the chat. Justice Cinnamon Bun, thank you for the kind contribution.
Thank you.
My plug-in hybrid electric vehicle takes 14 hours to charge on a 120-volt household outlet to go from 0 to 100. That only gives me about 30 miles range if the temperature is warm. Hybrid powertrain to the rescue there. That's why you've got it, Justice Cinnamon Bun. And from Philip Durant, Philip, thanks for the contribution.
Thank you.
What about more limited production cars like the Acura TLX Type S? More rare vehicles will hold their value better. They will also command more of a premium. We even see this just like brand to brand. Toyotas hold their value better than a Dodge will, for example. So definitely the TLX Type S will hold its value differently
than an Acura Integra Type R. I mean, limited production vehicles, if they're what people want, always hold a greater percentage of their value.
100%. Hey, one thing that I should mention. Yes. For all these folks that have Teslas out there that now aren't going to get out of them, we actually have under warranty and protection, our mechanical coverage covers Tesla. Just enter your Tesla VIN and you will actually be able to get a quote here for your Tesla. And we have our $150 off promotion running through the end of the month. Please go check that out. What I love about how we do extended warranties, as they're called in the industry, is you can get a quote and you can go price shop it and you don't have to give us any of your personal information. Just click through. Click get quote estimate and it'll pop right up. There is no personal information needed on our end, and we have our flat markup. There's no like percentage commission or anything like that. We really do our best to try and make this easy for the community. Greasebelly Garage, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I had a PHEV Pacifica rental for a month and it made my power bill go up by $160, but I saved about $150 on gas.
Yeah, well, it was still a $10 net loss. And you had to drive that damn Pacific.
If we had the Giant Pacifica from John Bittner.
JP in the house.
On EVs, current events could easily result in the doubling of gas prices overnight, shooting the EV prices back up. That's an interesting theory.
We shall see. That is an interesting theory, but I'm not buying it at the moment.
All right, I didn't cue this up as a really, you gotta be kidding me, but did you see the new electric G-Wagon, Dad?
I did not. I'm sure that must be cheap.
Exactly. Cheap and also like the most hilarious specs. Give me a second. Electric G-Wagon. Let me pull this up. It is hilarious, man. The specs on it are just fascinating. Bear with me.
Yes. No.
Yeah, here we go. So here's your electric G-Wagon, folks. If you really, really, really want an EV that, you know, says I've got money. $180,000 starting price, which seems reasonable.
Estimated. So it'll be like every other G-Wagon when it first comes out. So that 180 will be 360. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds, 116 kilowatt battery, estimated 250 mile range, 200 kilowatt max charging speed, drag coefficient of 0.44. I think that's the one, man.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Well, what's a good drag coefficient?
It is hard to make a box have a low drag coefficient. So
the drag coefficient on the Lucid Air, for example, is 0.197.
Yes, so it's more than double. Yeah.
The battery is protected by a 1-inch thick skid plate, can drive in water. There you go. The future of EVs right there.
Can't wait to not get one.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. All right, folks, we'll be back doing our normal thing tomorrow, 9 p.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you to everyone who's a part of our community. Thank you, Pops, for doing the show with me as always. I'm gonna go get some lunch.
I think you should. They're busy power washing my balcony as we speak. So I'm gonna let them do that and live through that noise all day. But then they're going to recoat the balcony eventually. So it'll be a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Thank you, Bucks Ruckus, for the kind contribution. Hi, guys. Love your channel. Have learned tons. Ray, I feel like I'm watching myself. We could be twins. Just saying. You've always said you might have a twin out there.
Yeah, and I thought it was Richard Dreyfuss. But and voice-wise, it's Wallace Shawn. Because it's just inconceivable to me. Absolutely inconceivable. That, I could have a twin.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. Love you, Pops. See you tomorrow.
Love you, too. See you later, everybody.